Hello everyone, and thanks so much for coming, and thank you guys for setting up this session. Excuse me. Before I get started, I'd also like to thank my long list of co-authors from a number of different institutions, as well as our funding source, the University of California Office of the President, and the UC Leeds Summer Undergraduate Research. So, in California, drought is a big deal. And we go through periodic droughts, and we've just come out of one of the biggest droughts in many years, and it's had a really large impact on the economics of the agriculture industry in our state. So I'm working as part of a project right now that's a collaboration between a number of UC campuses and the Lawrence Berkeley National Lab to look at how managing soil health can help lead to drought resilience in agricultural systems. So one of the ways we're doing that right now is looking into what cover crops can do. How cover crops can help with the soil health and specifically the water regime and how plants are able to function in the soil. So this is a plot on the left from a study done in the Central Valley of California showing the effects on soil carbon of an addition of cover crop just in a standard tillage system and showing that there's an increase in soil carbon in total. And then the plot on the right is from a different study, but it's also just to illustrate the fact that in some systems, the addition of cover crops can lead to more plant available water for the crops during the growing season. So a little bit of specifics where we're working at the Russell Ranch Sustainable Agricultural Facility in Davis, California. There's two plots. There's the main century plots, which are a long-term experiment. But today I'm going to be focusing on the front field, which was recently planted. I'll speak a little bit more about that. Anyway, the soil type is fairly fine-grained, and we're using subsurface drip irrigation. So there's drip lines installed to grow tomatoes on this plot. But it's just coming under, becoming part of the research plots. So this is some early data from that. So we're looking at the addition of cover crops to one side of this field versus just bare soil on the other side with conventional tillage. And what we did was we sampled at four depths last March to look at the differences. So the first hypothesis that we're working under is that cover crops in conjunction with the subsurface drip irrigation would increase the soil macroporosity. And just the very simple ways that we looked at that were with bulk density and penetrability. And what we saw was not very large differences in anything. So consider that this is only 4 months after the cover crop was planted for the first time. That's the only change that's occurred at this plot. But we did see this slight increase in bulk density under the cover crops, actually, at the surface layers. And that could be, and also a slight increase in moisture content. In terms of penetrability, penetration resistance, so this would be essentially what the roots would be seeing once the tomatoes were planted and they begin to grow. We didn't see any differences between treatments, but we saw this prominent difference just below the plow layer where the soils were plowed. One of the other things that we looked at was soil aggregation. And as we heard about earlier, soil aggregation is an integral part of soil health. And so we were looking at the macro aggregates and the micro aggregates within that soil profile. And this is a figure from Brady and Weil. I forgot to put in the reference. But in order to do that, we just did traditional wet sieving after Johann Six's method. And just a quick shout out to Yulisa Rojas, who helped do a lot of this work. And what we saw was no significant differences at depth in soil aggregation, but we did see a difference in the very shallowest 0 to 10 centimeter depth range. But we saw an increase in macro aggregation in the bare soil. So that goes against the hypothesis. But we think that the reason this might be is just because that soil was able to undergo multiple wetting and drying cycles. So this crop was grown on the field during the wintertime when it was raining on one side of the field and on the other side of the field, or it was raining on the whole field, but the canopy of the cover crop was able to shield the soil a little bit, likely, from the large fluctuations that were that the other side was undergoing, which can help to cement the large soil aggregates. And this is just a picture of the soils from that profile. You can see larger clods as you go deeper, and there is also, it corresponds with a slight increase in clay content in the soil, so that makes sense. And zooming in on that 0 to 10 centimeter depth range, we did see the place where the significant differences came about was in that small microaggregate, large microaggregate fraction just above 250 microns in the cover crop. And so that's where the difference between the cover crop and the no cover crop became apparent. So these are the larger microaggregates that are cycling at a faster rate. And so moving along with this, and I realize this is a session focused on soil physics, but I'm trying to bring in a little bit of the other soil health here. So we're looking into the soil organic matter a little bit, into the carbon that is the soil carbon that we're seeing within these aggregate size fractions. So we took each of those size fractions and then looked at the carbon and nitrogen contents and the isotopes in each of those. And this is just a plot showing the carbon distribution within the aggregates as you go through the aggregate size classes and down in depth. We did not see any significant differences, although if differences emerged, it seems that they would be emerging in the 0 to 10 centimeter depth range. That's where we're starting to see a little bit of movement. But in terms of the delta 13C that we observed there, we did see a significant difference in this large fraction in the 10 to 20 centimeter depth range. And this could be indicative of, there was one corn crop that was planted on this field a couple of years before this was grown. And this enriched signature in the no cover crop could be indicative, kind of an effect of that's being still observed in the soil, whereas in the cover crop zone, we're starting to see the carbon cycling through quicker. So no major changes to the structure, but maybe some changes to where that carbon is going within the aggregate distribution. Oops, I missed the slide. And then going along with that, we looked at the delta 15N, and we saw more enriched values in the no cover crop treatment, which would also kind of evidence in that same line that organic matter is more processed and it's become more enriched in the heavy nitrogen isotope, which would also point to the fact that we're getting cycling through at all size classes of this kind of fresh, somewhat fresher organic matter that's being added to the system through the cover cropping. So in conclusion, we didn't see any big differences in the physical properties, although there was this slight change in the macro aggregation in the most shallow range. But then we did see this soil organic matter that was starting to become incorporated into the aggregates, down to the smallest aggregates, which typically contain the most processed organic material. In the cover crop plots. So this is the very beginning of a study that is going to continue. And the next steps are to take this short-term data set and compare it to some samples that we have from the long-term set to look over time and hopefully try to see how soil aggregation, if we can look at that and look at some other physical properties of the soil, to see what the long-term effects of this cover cropping system are and how quickly they come in. And then with that, we hope to see some changes that could potentially be beneficial to drought resilience in these soils, so, you know, available water and things like this, or not. So we'll see what we see. But thank you all for listening, and if there's time for a couple questions.
Is there time for a couple questions?
Yeah, it's subsurface drip irrigation. So, yeah, it's a system. There's not a ton of research on subsurface drip with tomatoes in this climate. So we're looking. Part of what Russell Ranch is doing is trying to see, how effective the subsurface drip is as compared to furrow irrigation, which is what it used to be there. So trying to reduce the water usage, and we're seeing how that affects the soil structure.
What was your cover crop?
Sorry, I just said it was a cover crop. It was three different varieties of legumes. It was a vetch, bell bean, and something called Australian bean, which I've never heard of. Maybe it was Austrian bean. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Could you maybe speculate on if you'd expect differences if you changed your cover crop, either mixes or management?
I think as far as the mix of cover crop goes, I don't know a lot about different types of cover crops. But in terms of management, I think the biggest change that we'd see to a lot of this would be, differences in tillage, whether it was till or no-till. And in those long-term plots, I think they have some no-till treatments as well. So. Yeah.
When are you having most of your rainfall, and how is this? What's the role of this rain in the data?
So this was taken. These samples were taken last March. It was during our rainy season. The soil profile was quite wet, and the way that we sampled it was at every point where we sampled the profile for aggregation, we took a gravimetric sample. And then using our bulk density profile, which we also took at each of those points, that's how we got n equals 4. So 4 in each, across each field. Yeah.
Give another hand for Nathaniel.